Welcome to Columbus Perspective, a weekly public affairs presentation of The Fan. I'm Kate Burdett. Coming up, we'll hear about an event coming up in Central Ohio for dogs and the people who love them. And there's an organization that started right here in Columbus and is quickly expanding nationally with the goal of helping girls succeed in relationships, academics, careers, and life. We'll get more information about ruling our experiences. Plus, Doug Petcash of Face the State will have a look at state politics. First up, on Columbus Perspective, Columbus and Franklin County Metro Parks just announced their inaugural Bark Bash event. It's happening on Saturday, August 24th at the Prairie Oaks Metro Park, and it's a fun-filled day they have planned for people and their dogs. Here to tell us more about that is Jill Snyder. She is a visitor engagement manager for Metro Parks. Hi, Jill. Thanks for joining us on Columbus Perspective.
Thanks for having me.
So tell me about Bark Bash. How did this all come to pass?
Yeah, so there has been a large event at Prairie Oaks Metro Park for over 10 years that was all focused on dogs. It was called Wag Fest. And it was kind of a partnership. Metro Parks was the host, but there was an outside agency that organized and planned everything. And unfortunately, they were not able to hold that event this year, but we knew that the people of Central Ohio and all of the pets of Central Ohio desperately loved this event. And we really wanted to make sure that it went on regardless of who put it together. So that's kind of why Bark Bash came to be. And it's going to have a lot of the same things as the previous event, but maybe a little bit of a twist that makes it a little more Metro Parks.
Bark Bash kicks off at 10 a.m. on Saturday the 24th. And once it does, can you tell us, Jill, a little bit about what dogs and their humans can expect to find at Prairie Oaks in Hilliard?
Yeah, so the event will have a whole lot of different activities going on. There are going to be quite a few retail vendors there. So if you are looking for that perfect pet portrait or a special collar, you know, all of those sorts of fun dog-related items, as well as treats and things like that. So there'll be a section for those activities and for spending good money. And then there'll be some rescue groups and some of the local humane societies with adoptable animals. So you'll be able to kind of look for different animals, make some of those connections. You know, if you've always been wanting a golden retriever and you want to talk to that organization, they'll be there. We will also have our Friends of Metro Parks, which is kind of our philanthropic arm of Metro Parks. They're going to be there promoting all the different places you can take your pet, to the dog parks, to the dog beaches, to the pet trails throughout Metro Parks any day of the year. And they're going to be tie-dyeing bandanas and doing some activities there. We're also going to have Frisbee dogs as well as agility dogs doing some demonstrations and showing off their amazing talents. We're going to have an opportunity for people to go paddling. So if you want to try stand-up paddleboarding or kayaking with your dog, we're going to have our outdoor adventure team there with that activity for people and dogs to enjoy. We will have the famous ice castle where dogs can actually get in the ice and kind of cool off and cool down. Our dog swimming beach will be there for cooling off for dogs. And then we'll have some food trucks and things like that for humans as well.
Jill Snyder is with Franklin County and Columbus Metro Parks. We're talking about Bark Bash coming up on August 24th. That is a Saturday at Prairie Oaks Metro Park in Hilliard. A lot of fun to be had for four-legged friends and their two-legged companions. Now, what kind of guidelines are there for who can attend this event?
Yeah, it's open to anyone. We do ask that dogs stay on a leash. Unless they're in the swimming area, then they can go off leash, but they need to be on a leash. We ask owners to take care of and clean up after their pets. We will have water stations for dogs and humans alike. I will say one of the challenges is it's an August event, and it gets pretty hot. So I always encourage everyone to bring plenty of drinking water, and make sure that they're prepared for the heat as well.
Absolutely. It seems like nowadays there are few places that you can't actually take your dog with you. So it's so exciting when an event comes up that is actually, you know, welcoming dogs to come along and to be part of the action. And quite frankly, as in this case, to have the activities really focused on our dogs. What kind of response have you heard from the past having the event being held at your park? I would imagine a lot of people, like you said, wanted this event to return, and it's wonderful that your organization has made it happen.
Yeah, I mean, people really do look forward to it. We have some folks who've said, you know, this is kind of our activity that we do for the summer, and they look forward to it. And I know lots of folks that come out to the event that don't have a pet of their own, but they use it as their chance to see all the dogs, pet all the puppies, you know, get their pet fix. If they, you know, whether they're in an apartment and they can't own their own pet or what have you. So I know some other people that come out just for the dog watching alone.
People watching, forget about it. That day it's all about dog watching.
Yeah, the amount of dog breeds that are represented and the costumes, and I mean, it's amazing to me just to sit back and watch it all happen.
That's happening Saturday, August 24th. It kicks off at 10 a.m. at the Prairie Oaks Metro Park in the Darby Lakes area, Darby Bend Lakes area, I should say, in Hilliard. It's Bark Bash, and they at Metro Parks always have something going on. You may recall recently we've heard quite a bit about another one of their facilities, of their 20 outstanding natural area parks. The Canopy Walk out in the Reynoldsburg area has been very popular this summer, hasn't it, Jill?
Yeah, so we've been planning for the Canopy Walk for several years, and we did the ribbon cutting, and it has just been amazing to see how many people get out there to experience the Canopy Walk. You get to go 40 feet up in the treetops, so you really are walking around. You're able to see kind of that bird's eye view, literally, of what it looks like to be in the forest. One of the things that makes it really unique and has added to the popularity is that it actually has an elevator. So it is wheelchair accessible. So, you know, there are 99 steps to get to the top, and we encourage everyone to take the stairs whenever they can. But if you can't do the stairs, there's another option. So you can actually get out and see all of that and experience it as well.
I can speak from personal experience. I did visit. I was advised to get there early. It was a weekend, and it definitely was popular. There were a lot of people there enjoying the Canopy Walk, but the views really are spectacular, both within the forest and when you look beyond the forest. There's a beautiful vista of Central Ohio. Great photo opportunities as well. And those 99 steps, those add up. Those are good for the glutes, shall we say.
Right. You know, and I think that the thing that's going to be amazing is watching it change over the course of the seasons. You know, so right now you're in the forest and it's kind of shady and you've got all the green leaves on the trees. But in the fall, it's going to be beautiful, you know, with all the fall color. And then in the winter, you'll be able to see even farther without the leaves. So I'm excited to see it just as the seasons go by and it transforms over the year.
It really is a spectacular view, and I can't wait to see the fall colors up there in the Canopy Walk.
Yeah, and you're right. It is crowded, popular on the weekends. So if you can go during the week, it's a little less busy. I think sometimes going a little later in the day sometimes helps a little bit. It does close at 7 p.m. right now, so people should just kind of keep that in mind.
Keep that in mind. And, of course, Bark Bash coming up on August 24th. Jill, what is your website for more information on these and other activities at the Metro Parks?
Yeah, so our website is metroparks.net. And on there you can find all the different places that you can go hiking, the various dog parks, what activities and events are going on in the parks besides Bark Bash, because we're always doing something.
You really are, and it's a great resource to have in our community, all of these wonderful parks that are open for free use by anyone in Central Ohio. I highly encourage families, individuals, whoever, to take some time and explore some of these great natural destinations, shall we say, in Central Ohio. Well, Jill Snyder, yeah. I'm sure you are busily preparing, probably bagging up dog treats and sorting bandanas, getting ready for Bark Bash. I so appreciate your time today joining us to talk about that and more with Metro Parks on today's Columbus Perspective.
Thanks for having me. The Fan.
This is Columbus Perspective on The Fan. I'm Kate Burdett. Dr. Lisa Hinkleman is the founder and CEO of Ruling Our Experiences. It's called ROCKS for short, an organization that started here in Central Ohio but is expanding nationwide for a very important reason. They provide research-backed resources and programs to help girls use their voice, rule their experiences, and embrace their confidence. Dr. Hinkleman, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
I suppose it doesn't need to be asked, but I want to find out from you personally, what was it that spurred you to begin this movement?
Well, the work behind ROCKS, I think, was informed by my own experiences as a girl feeling that I didn't fit in or struggling with my confidence, or that I was the only one going through the experiences that I was having. But then when I became a counselor, I realized much more fully and deeply that many of the experiences that are facing girls are quite universal, and the issues that are impacting them during their adolescent years, like these drops in confidence and conflict and tension with other girls, restricted aspirations around their careers or leadership. You know, the stress and pressure that girls are experiencing is much more universal than it is a unique experience. And I thought there was something that I could do about it. And I started a research study. I was a professor at The Ohio State University. And that was the early makings of the organization that has become Ruling Our Experiences.
In 2023, ROCKS published the Girls Index with statistics like over half of girls don't believe they're smart enough for their dream career. And I know we always kind of use the COVID pandemic as this sort of touchstone in time. But for me, a big takeaway from COVID was we became much more open in our society, talking about mental health, talking about things like this, that girls aren't as confident in educational settings or professional settings. Did you find that with those kinds of changes in our societal treatment of talking about things like mental health, has that helped or hindered your work?
Well, I think both. That statistic that you cited is based on a study that we conducted with more than 17,000 girls across the country. It was a replication of a research study that we did in 2017, pre-COVID, and we're able to look at what has happened for girls over the last 6 years. And I think that what we found was frustrating, was sad, and really is putting a call to action for us to ensure that we're impacting and influencing and supporting girls in the best possible way. Because while we're able to more easily shine a light on the challenges that girls are facing, because there is some increased acceptance of addressing the stress and pressure and the mental well-being of students and of youth, it still was so devastating to realize how much they have declined in their perceptions, in their confidence over the last 6 years. And so it's increased our call to action, our desire to not let our foot off the gas and to expand our work and impact so that we're able to support and encourage and empower as many girls as possible here in Central Ohio as well as throughout the country.
It was in 2011 that ROCKS became an organization, a 501c3 official nonprofit organization here in Central Ohio. And you have scaled nationally, this organization, across more than 30 states at this point. More than 6,500 girls annually are impacted by what your organization does. Dr. Lisa Hinkleman is who we're talking to. She's the founder and CEO of Ruling Our Experiences. We call it ROCS for short. And I'd like to hear more from you, Dr. Lisa, about what on a day-to-day basis ROCS is doing to provide this support, to provide this kind of empowerment to girls and young women.
We have two basic areas of work at ROCS. One is a 20-week evidence-based program that is delivered through schools throughout the country. We train and license school counselors, school social workers, and educators to deliver a curriculum that small groups of girls in 5th through 12th grade participate in, where they have the chance to explore some of the big issues that they're facing during these critical growing up years. They go through the 20 weeks as a cohort by this trained professional who can help them explore and learn and grow and develop new skills and competencies that help them navigate and address the big issues that are coming down the pike for them, whether it is dealing with social media, navigating conflict or bullying, standing up to sexual harassment or sexual violence, or planning their future, their career and leadership aspirations. We really recognize that the messages that girls are receiving from the world have the chance to hold them back from reaching their full potential. And we want every girl to have the chance to truly reach what she is capable of and have a network and an environment of support that tells her that she is capable and worthy of everything that she wants in her life. That program is operating in more than 500 schools across 32 states right now. And we are on track to have ROCS in all 50 states by the end of the 2025-26 school year. The other side of the work of the organization is an institute for research and training. And that's where we conduct large-scale national research with girls and then put that research into action in tangible ways to support the adults who have girls in their lives, whether they're parents, teachers, sports coaches, mentors, advocates, coaches, faith leaders. We really believe that everybody who has a girl that is in their sphere of influence can do their job, their relationship, their support better by truly understanding what's happening in girls' lives and then applying strategies and skills to enhance their communication and their relationship.
It seems like we should be expecting better, you know, from the world. We've been talking about equality and equity and all of these things, and yet you're still finding in your research and in your work and in your experiences out in these schools that girls really are falling behind and, as you said, being held back. Have there been any surprises that have struck you along the way in terms of what girls are facing, or maybe pleasant surprises about what you expected to be worse?
I think that we live in this world where girls are receiving messages that are juxtaposed. On one hand, we're telling them, you can be anything that you want, and the sky is the limit, and all of these kind of girl power sort of messages. But on the other hand, we're also telling girls that you have to look like this and you have to behave like this and these are the right careers for you and don't be too loud or too opinionated because people won't like you. And oftentimes those messages are really conflicting and girls are trying to navigate how to be both strong and confident and kind and accessible. And I think for them, that confusion is playing itself out in a lot of ways where they're experiencing tremendous stress and pressure. 79% of girls in this research reported that they're under so much pressure that they feel like they're going to explode. And they talk about grades, school,
relationships and family issues as the top stressors that they're trying to navigate. I think one of the most surprising things that jumped out for me between the 2017 and the 2023 data was how much worse things became for the youngest girls. The fifth and sixth grade girls in our sample experienced the biggest drops in confidence alongside the biggest increases in sadness and depression. And when we looked and started to make sense of what are the contributors to some of this, we also saw that this group had the largest uptick in their social media use. And so when we think about the outcomes for these youngest girls, fifth grade girls are 10. So 10 and 11-year-old girls are now faring in the ways that we would have seen maybe 8th or 9th grade girls a few years ago. And that drives me to want to understand more of what's contributing here, but also what can we do to stop this downward spiral and get these girls the support and back on the trajectory for a positive, successful future. So that part concerns me. That should be a call to action for us, that the challenges start well before middle school. And so our supports, the attention that we're paying to even young girls' challenges, is that we have to take those seriously. We can't just say, oh, well, she's only in fifth grade. Like, how bad can it be? We have to see that the starting point for some of the confidence, leadership, emotional challenges are starting much earlier than we previously would have thought.
Wow. Dr. Lisa Hinkleman is the founder and CEO of ROCKS, Ruling Our Experiences, based right here in Columbus, Ohio, but expanding nationally at a wonderful rate, because obviously, as we've talk today, this is needed. This is needed for girls across the country. Before we go, Dr. Hinkleman, I know you have a lot going on, but I understand that your organization has a new partnership with the Columbus Blue Jackets.
We do. We have had the chance to work with the Blue Jackets Foundation for the last few years, where they have helped support girls to participate in ROCKS programs in Central Ohio. In 2018, we produced a report called Girls in Sports, where we looked at the impact of sports on the outcomes for girls. And we saw that girls who participated in sports reported higher levels of confidence and leadership and tended to get along better with other girls and form more healthy relationships. And so since that time, we've been focused on how can we support girls in their sport? How can we support girls in their environment? And how can we support the adults who are coaching, mentoring, and raising girls in our community? And this year, the Blue Jackets came through with a three-year, $250,000 investment in ROCKS to allow us to deepen our impact here in Central Ohio with thousands of girls who will have the chance to participate in the ROCKS 20-week program, and hundreds of parents and coaches who will have the chance to learn and grow and develop new skills to better support and engage their girls. We're also having the chance to help female hockey players who are navigating some of the hard challenges of growing up alongside the challenges of playing a sport that is typically dominated by boys. And that navigation and that growth has its own set of challenges and opportunities. And I love the fact that the Blue Jackets are willing to support in Central Ohio the growth and the investment in female hockey, but they're also demonstrating an investment in girls in our community, because we have to create healthy, competent, confident girls if we're going to create healthy, competent, confident hockey players. And I love the fact that the holistic view of growing and empowering girls can come from multiple spaces in our community. And the Blue Jackets have been such fantastic partners in seeing the big picture.
Shout out to the Blue Jackets. Very nice. RulingOurExperiences.com is the website where you can get more information. There is a wealth of information there. As we've discussed in these just past few minutes, Dr. Lisa and her staff are working tirelessly doing this research and engaging with young girls and young women at their level to help them embrace their confidence, to grow in ways that they may have never known they could before. Dr. Lisa Hinkleman, founder and CEO of Ruling Our Experiences, rocks. Thank you so much for joining us today on Columbus Perspective.
Thank you for having me.
The Fan.
This is Columbus Perspective on The Fan. Now, courtesy of our sister station, WBNS 10 TV, here's Doug Petcash from the Sunday morning public affairs program, Face the State. A new edition can be seen this morning at 11:30 on 10 TV.
Ohio is once again squarely in the spotlight of national politics now that former President Trump has chosen Ohio Senator J.D. Vance as his vice presidential running mate. Vance accepted the Republican vice presidential nomination during his speech at the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. It was his chance to introduce himself to voters across the country who don't know him, to make the case for a second Trump presidency and for himself as vice president.
I officially accept your nomination to be Vice President of the United States of America.
Vance accepted the Republican nomination for Vice President with former President Trump looking on.
For the last 8 years, President Trump has given everything he has to fight for the people of our country. He didn't need politics, but the country needed him.
Vance, a freshman on Capitol Hill, talked about what he will bring to the GOP ticket.
Now, I pledge to every American, no matter your party, I will give you everything I have to serve you and to make this country a place where every dream you have for yourself, your family, and your country will be possible once again.
The former Marine first rose to national prominence with his best-selling memoir, Hillbilly Elegy.
I grew up in Middletown, Ohio, a small town where people spoke their minds, built with their hands, and loved their God, their family, their community, and their country with their whole hearts.
Vance laid out his Midwestern roots and played up his youth.
Spencer Gross of Upper Arlington was a delegate at the RNC. Gross says it's nice to have some youth on the ticket.
It's amazing to see a millennial on the ticket. I think he can speak to issues that millennials really care about in a way that, you know, only someone in that age group can. Being from where he grew up in the town right next door, I know what that's like, and he's going to do a great job as vice president.
Now, Vance is the first millennial on a presidential ticket. He turns 40 years old on August 2nd. University of Dayton political science professor Chris Devine went to Milwaukee for the RNC. He says while the speech may not be memorable in the long run, Vance was largely successful in introducing himself to America.
He had a story to tell. It's one that he's told in his memoir, Hillbilly Elegy, and that some may have seen even in movie form. And he wanted to remind people of that or tell them if they hadn't heard the story before about someone who had come from very difficult circumstances in his life, economically, his mother struggling with drug abuse, who was there. And I think that was kind of an emotional moment to see him celebrating his mom's recovery. And so there was a lot about his personal story that might connect to voters, especially people who are struggling with some of those same kind of things. He connected it also politically and made the case also for why Donald Trump should be president for a second term.
And Devine points out the speech did not have much on policy or proposals, but says the goal was to tell America who J.D. Vance is in a positive way. Since Trump picked Vance, it has been a time of dueling messages, many Republicans praising the choice and Democrats painting Vance as someone who will be loyal only to Trump, not the country, and pointing out the negative things Vance said about Trump back in 2016 before becoming a staunch supporter and defender. Also, all of this happened within days of the attempted assassination of former President Trump in Butler, Pennsylvania. Trump wore a bandage on his wounded right ear at the RNC. Now, CNN reported investigators discovered that the shooter, Thomas Matthew Crooks, visited the rally site twice before the shooting. He also had photos of Trump and Biden on his phone. Authorities are still working to figure out his motive. Joining me now to talk about the most recent developments in the race for the White House are two men with a lot of knowledge and experience, but different views on things. Terry Casey is a Republican strategist who has worked in Ohio politics for 5 decades and served on the Franklin County Board of Elections for 14 years. Dale Butland is a Democratic strategist who was the Ohio chief of staff for the late Senator John Glenn. Gentlemen, both of you, thank you for being here today.
Good to be here, Doug.
Oh, first of all, Terry, let's start with you. What do you think of J.D. Vance as the choice for vice president?
Well, for Ohio, it's great. And as noted in your lead up, he has a very interesting resume because the millennial, the Ohio connections, the blue collar roots, the fact that in Middletown, he's experienced with a lot of people. And I think one of the key things that was interesting in his speech, he had to navigate. There were Ohio State people that wanted him to pump up Ohio State because he's an Ohio State graduate, loves Ohio State. By the way, he graduated summa cum laude from Ohio State, much better than I did when I graduated there. And to get a full ride to Yale Law School is impressive. But I think Ohioans are excited to have somebody on the ticket. And then, of course, that could lead to the question of Trump's elected, then who's the next senator appointed by Governor DeWine? Mm-hmm. That's another show, another time.
Yeah, the OHIO stuff. And he was like, wait, we got to win Michigan, too.
Absolutely. Right. And don't forget Pennsylvania and Wisconsin, because they got football fans there that don't like Ohio State.
That's right. Dale, what do you think about him as the choice?
I think that Trump picked him because he's a reliable yes man for him, but I think it was a mistake. And I'll tell you why. There are two reasons. Number one, we had the one gentleman from Upper Arlington who just said, well, it's good to have some youth on the ticket. Here's the problem. He is the least experienced Republican vice presidential nominee since 1936. He's been in the Senate for all of 5 minutes and has zero government experience beyond that, which means he is utterly unqualified to take over as president should something happen to the 78-year-old Trump. Secondly, this guy, Vance, is an election denier who says he would not have certified the 2020 election. He is an isolationist who wants to abandon Ukraine and hand it over to the Russians. And third, he's an anti-woman extremist who has been in support of a national abortion ban, has opposed exceptions for rape or incest, and has even voted against IVF protections. I'm telling you, as the country gets to know this guy, to know him is not to love him.
Do you want to respond, Terry?
Well, there's this guy named Barack Obama whose time in the state U.S. Senate was about as limited as what J.D. Vance's is. And I think Dale would say
he was in state government before that, Terry.
Well, but a short time period before he was running again for U.S. Senate. So there, we've had some presidents in the past who have had short histories. And there's a lot of people right now, the confidence level in government and where our country's headed is very low. There's a lot of people, particularly younger people, who want some change. We want some fresh voices. We want some new thinking, because the same old is not working very well.
Does Vance really add anything to the Trump campaign in terms of attracting voters that Trump didn't already have?
Well, he doesn't add that much, but again, I think the blue-collar roots, the way he can connect to a lot of people in Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin is very important, because when you look at the map, as the national analysts do, there are certain states where Trump is much farther ahead, including in Georgia, Arizona, and Nevada. So those three Midwestern-ish states, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, are the key. And if Trump wins one or two of those, the race is over.
I think the evidence is that outside the MAGA base that Trump already has with him, he doesn't bring anything. And here's the proof, Terry. When J.D. Vance won his own election here to the U.S. Senate, he won by 6 points. Mike DeWine, on the same ballot with him, won by 24 points. That tells me is that there's not a lot. Vance does not have a lot of crossover appeal.
But your analogy is rather faulty, because Tim Ryan had $50 million that he spent over and over and over again, and you're comparing DeWine being a nobody from nowhere who did nothing. So it's not quite apples and oranges.
Everybody
to beat 6 points, everybody, not $50 million something.
Everybody on the Republican ticket last year did better than J.D. Vance, won by more than J.D. Vance. But look, I'm happy that you nominated him. Don't get me wrong. Please, stay with him.
What's your big takeaway, Terry, from the RNC now that it is in the rearview mirror?
Well, your CBS cohorts nationally earlier this week did a very good series in looking at Wisconsin and the difference, not only in the convention, but in the state of Wisconsin. Voter enthusiasm on the Republican side is really up there. Democrat confusion and division is pretty high. So that's one of the questions when there's when the people are that unhappy with the direction of the country and Biden, how do the Democrats turn it around? How do they unify?
How about for you, Dale, as far as the, what you look back in, looking back in the rearview mirror about the RNC, what do you take away from it?
You mean the convention itself?
Yeah, just the overall vibe, the messaging.
I think they had a good convention. I mean, it went off without a hitch. I think that Donald Trump's speech this week was less than I thought it was going to be. We kept hearing about how he had completely rewritten his speech. It was going to be a new Trump, that in the wake of the assassination attempt, he was a changed man. The speech went on for an hour and a half, and what I saw was not a new Trump. I saw the same old Trump, rambling, unfocused, full of juvenile insults, calling former Speaker of the House Crazy Nancy, again saying that the election was stolen from him before. It reminded me a lot, Terry, of the classic rock song, whose last lines, by The Who, whose last lines were, "Meet the new boss, same as the old boss. I hope we don't get fooled again."
Columbus Perspective is a public affairs presentation of WBNS Radio. The opinions expressed on this program are those of its guests and do not necessarily reflect those of WBNS Radio, its staff, management, or sponsors.
The Fan.
This is Columbus Perspective on The Fan. Here's more from Face the State, courtesy of 10TV.
Well, if former President Donald Trump is elected in 2024, Senator J.D. Vance will go to Washington, D.C. with him, leaving a key Senate seat up for grabs here. 10TV's Angela Ann explains what could happen next in the Buckeye State.
There are several scenarios that could play out here. The first, Trump and Vance lose. Vance would then keep his Senate seat until 2028 when he's up for re-election. But if Trump wins, Vance goes to the White House, opening up one of Ohio's two Senate seats. In that case, Ohio Governor Mike DeWine would then appoint a replacement. Once appointed, that replacement wouldn't simply serve out the rest of Vance's term. Instead, there would be a special general election in November of 2026. Now, if the appointed replacement loses that special election, the new senator would then take office in December of that year. The winner does not automatically earn a regular six-year Senate term. Instead, they will have to then run for re-election again in 2028, which is when Vance's original Senate term is up. So, clearly a lot of moving parts here, and we're going to have to see how it all plays out on November 5th.
And another thing, if J.D. Vance goes to the White House, Ohio code says the special election to fill his seat would have to take place in the next regular state election that occurs more than 180 days after the vacancy happens. That's why Ohioans wouldn't vote on his seat until November of 2026.
I'm Shanola Hampton. Every day, millions of people face hunger. Today, I will share with you some of their experiences. I'm stuck between paying for medications or paying for food. John from Maine. After paying my bills, I can buy groceries. It's sad to say, food comes last. Alice from Oregon. I thought pantries were for less fortunate people, but anybody could be less fortunate in a day or even a second. Claire from Virginia. The Feeding America network of food banks helps provide over 6 billion meals to people in need each year. No one should have to worry where their next meal will come from. Together, we can end hunger. Learn more at feedingamerica.org.
The day after former President Trump chose Vance as his running mate, we went to Middletown to see how that news is settling in. Vance is someone who came from humble beginnings and has now risen to national prominence in a second way. Vance put Middletown, Ohio on the national map in 2016 with his memoir, Hillbilly Elegy. Some of those we talked to there say he's doing it again as the potential next vice president. The southwestern Ohio town of 51,000 proudly displays their hometown heroes, their veterans, on downtown lampposts. For many here, former President Trump's choice of native son and Marine Corps veteran J.D. Vance is another point of pride.
I think it'll be awesome, just for the city. I did vote for him when he ran for Senate, and he seems to be a good guy from what I've seen of him.
Lunchtime at the Jug on Middletown Central Avenue kept server Kenny busy.
I was just checking to see if you need a refill.
But he took 2 minutes to give us his 2 cents.
Yeah, I think it's awesome that he started in politics and now he's already going to become vice president.
81-year-old Ronald Downs was born here. He thinks it's cool Vance is from his city.
I don't know that much about J.D. Vance, you know, but I'm definitely a Trump person.
Now, Mr. Downs says he's going to read up on Vance. Chris Lester was born here, too.
I think it's great. No matter what side you're on, it's good news for Middletown. So it's a great thing, absolutely. He seems like he's young, and he'll be a good choice.
A handful of people we talked to didn't want to go on camera, either because they don't know much about Vance or they don't like his and Trump's politics or policies. We caught up with Middletown Rotary Club president Stuart Locke right after the club's meeting let out. He likes Vance's relative youth and what he's heard about him.
Knowing people in the community that do know him, and he's a genuine article. He's going to be a great vice president.
A couple people looked ahead, saying if the Republican ticket wins the November election, their hometown guy could someday be president.
Again, that's Doug Petcash, courtesy of our sister station, WBNS 10 TV, from the Sunday morning public affairs program, Face the State. A new edition can be seen this morning at 11:30 on 10 TV. This has been Columbus Perspective, a weekly public affairs presentation of The Fan. Heard each Sunday morning at 6 on WBNS FM 97.1 The Fan and on 1460 AM ESPN Columbus.